First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yawning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, February 11th, 2024. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's the Wombat.
Oh, my goodness. DJ Wombat. And Dread Pirate Higgs is with us all the way from Western Canada. Welcome.
Arr.
Digital Arr. Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religions, religious faith, Pastafarianism, God's holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in your town, well, I guarantee you, you're not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,100 of us. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, and we'll tell you more about us after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
Did you hear about the inconvenient news? You might have heard of the good news, but have you heard about the inconvenient news? That's what
I'm there's good news, bad news. I haven't heard about the inconvenient news.
Oh, it's going to be something we'll get into the whole show. We'll dedicate a whole show to it. But before we get into it, that's our main course. How about an appetizer of noodles led by our own Dread Pirate Higgs?
Arr, our newly lord, who art in a colander, al dente be thy noodles. Thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread and forgive us our cussing, as we forgive those who cuss against us. And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs. For thine are the meatballs, and the noodles, and the grog, whenever and ever.
Amen.
I've been doing a weird thing for the last couple of weeks, where I wake up in the morning and I track a mood. 1 out of 10 is what I'd give myself. 10 if I'm at the highest, 0 if I feel just in the complete dumps. And since I started that board, I've realized something about myself in that I tend to be monopolar, because I've been at a 10 out of 10 for like the last 3 weeks in a row.
My goodness.
And I realized, like, every single time I feel like, well, maybe I'm at a 9.5. No, I'm kicking butt. This is awesome. Like, life is awesome. Like, I have a lot of friends.
You're in a manic phase.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not in pain. My family's healthy. I got a good job. My cat loves me. Like, things are awesome. I'm just going to put another 10 here. Even when problems come, I have fun fixing them. And so that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about problems and how they show up. And it's fun fixing things, particularly in an engineering environment, because I get to use science to fix stuff. I can't just pray problems away. I have to understand how the problem works.
Yeah, you get that feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah. And so that got me thinking this week. I was thinking to myself, you know, sometimes when things break in our laboratory or in our building, we have people, we put in a work order, but oftentimes the people at our site are good enough engineers that they can fix the problem themselves. What happens if something breaks in hell? Like, you can't imagine everything works in hell, right? Like, the whole point about hell is being like troublesome, inconvenient, terrible, eternal punishment. But like, what if things go dull? What if heaters break down? What if the electricity cords break down? What if the Netflix subscription goes out of phase? You know, like, we need to have ways to fix it or not. Uh-huh. Would it not actually be better if certain things stay broken in hell for the benefit of everybody? Like, is when things break, is that a feature? And so I know this,
particularly the heater.
Right. Yeah. So I came about to like the inconvenient news. This is what I mean by the inconvenient news. We all know about the good news, which is like Jesus Christ rise and we're all saved through the blood of God and all that stuff. What if we got an extra page in the Bible, like, that's just magically appeared in every Bible, to the point where we're like, oh man, every Bible has this extra page now? It's like, yes, it's directly missive. It's missive from God. It's just a inconvenient news page that says, we're sorry, the heaters in hell have broken down indefinitely. We apologize for the inconvenience. And now I'm thinking to myself, Wait, so the hell's not hot anymore? Like, remember all that stuff we said about burning fires? Yeah, the heaters are, we can't seem to figure out a way to coordinate to fix it. So
Yeah, I
no
hate
more hot. No.
that
Yeah. We apologize for the convenience.
for
So it
So, what
brings
would that
me.
look like?
Yeah. So what would that look like? Dredd, while you are not a Christian, what do you think a hell where the heaters are broken would look like? What kind of, would that be better in a paradise? What do you think? Compare and contrast with volcanoes that shoot out beer.
It would, it'd be a change, and people like change. So I imagine just by virtue of the fact that it's different than what they've been used to, that'd be all right.
Okay,
I mean,
wait.
saying, even Pastafarian heaven, like, there's the beer volcano. Well, it'd be nice if it was ale. And then, change to, maybe mead or some kind of heavy beer, just to switch it up a bit.
Yeah,
So,
wouldn't be so darn monopolous or monotonous, as it were.
champagne, if you will, like a
Yeah,
nice little
champagne.
bubbly spray. So, like, you could be in hell and be like, oh, it's hot. Oh, it's so hot. To like, oh, it's not that bad. What is this? Like 70 degrees?
It's only balmy.
This is pretty good. I was like, is it broken? Is the heater broken? Yeah, the heater's broken. Can we keep it broken? It's like, I don't think anyone in heaven knows how to fix this because there's only Christian engineers. Excuse me. There's only Christian scientists in
Well,
heaven. They're
if there
like,
were
we don't
engineers
see
in
the spray
hell,
problem.
they would have added air conditioning by now.
I'm sorry. What did you just say, Larry?
If there were engineers in hell, they would have had it air conditioned by now.
Maybe the small, yeah, they would have to be clever and be willing to break the rules, but I'm sure they would figure something else like that. It's like, you don't have to stay outside. We figured this out like day 14,000. We got this working. But the idea is for a lot of Christian science, a lot of problems could be prayed away, or you can use God as an interventionist means to like affect real world change. Whereas with secular minded, like forms of science, where you have to just understand the model and recognize when you don't know something. If something's broken, you can fix it by understanding the problem, not necessarily praying. So if you have hell and something breaks in hell, you can't pray to God to fix it. So Christian science no longer can be helpful, even though God made hell. Like hell is all about being away from God. And so now you have like this realm where, like, if the heater breaks down or if something starts electrical breaking down or like something wears out or a pitchfork gets dull. Now you have a system where it's like, well, the only people who can fix it are the people who are already in hell. And why would they fix it? Because it's not in their benefit to do so. In fact, if anything, there's no more unruly group of people and pirates. Forgive me. Forgive me. Then
All the
people are like, we're
engineers
not
on
going
the
to turn the heater
strike.
back on. Are you kidding me? It's just the inconvenient news. And so what I have is a list of things that have broken down in hell. And I want to go through that list and see. Let's see. I want us to like explore user minds and have some freedom of creativity to explore the nature of this inconvenient news and the list of things that are broken on this magical page that showed up in our Bible. So we have pitchfork polishing stations. The pitchfork polishing station is no longer in service. The missive is, sorry, Satan's polisher is on strike. Embrace the rustic charms of slightly tarnished pitchforks instead. And
And
I say,
rusty.
and rusty, yeah, that's true, that's true, it's true. So you know
Does it
what? I
be you
don't
have to
get
get a tetanus shot in hell or?
the So you're saying there's Medicare in hell now?
What gets me is, we don't have a body in hell, it's just our souls, theoretically. And
Very true.
souls don't interact with them, theoretically, with material things. So I can't imagine like trying to set a ghost on fire, what's the deal there? It's just not one of those things.
Larry, that's such a good point. Yeah, when you're in hell, you don't even have your body. So, like, what are you
No.
poking with the pitchfork to begin with? Like, that's fine.
It
It's all
just goes
good.
right through the
But
soul. Yeah.
isn't the Christian thing like of a bodily resurrection, like a physical bodily resurrection? I mean, wasn't that what happened when Jesus died, that thousands of graves opened up and the people got out of them and started walking around?
Yeah. So I am also aware of Jehovah Witness end times, where bodies will come from graves, and there's even planets where stewards will be in charge of them, and people will be taken to those planets to be cared for by the certain allotted number of chosen people. It's out there, but dead bodies coming out and hanging out with people seem to be pretty common. The thing is, we know how, I don't know if we know how decay works or if they knew how decay works, because a lot of these bodies that we were expecting to come out of nowhere have already gone through multiple cycles of the water cycle, have probably been fish and other animals at this point, bacteria at this point. Like,
Yeah.
you bring back a
I
body,
get it.
like, how's that going to work? Right? It's pretty weird. All right. But yeah, I like the pitchfork polishing station being completely unaffected by souls. The souls are like, we don't care either way. It was just going through us. You can't even give us tetanus. Now they're just slightly less sharp sticks that can't even hurt us. That's even less of a pain in the butt. All right. Next one. Screams of agony amplifier. The missive is, apologies, the amplifier's gone mute. Enjoy the serenity and slightly quieter torment. Earplugs are available upon request.
I don't think that'd be available, but what would you put them into? You ghosts have ears?
Let's go. Okay, but either way, it's like we went from
You just
unnecessarily
hang on
making
to them.
everyone's. What'd you say, Dredd?
Well, that you just hang on to earplugs. I mean,
Yeah.
you
So
don't put
that's
them in anything. You just hang on. Well, I got earplugs.
Larry, that was the thing. So earplugs were always, so here's my inner lore. You always had earplugs, but because you were a soul, you had nowhere to stick them in. So you were just stuck with listening to people scream all the time with earplugs that are completely ineffectual. That's a perfect little island of hell torment to live on for the rest of your eternity, right? It's like, I can't handle these screams, yet I'm surrounded by earplugs, but I don't have ears. No. But now the amplifier is broken. So with a broken amplifier, now people can just sit around and gossip now. And I wonder what they'll even have conversations about. But I think that could be a nice improvement, right? Can we agree on that? Okay. All right. Dredd, what is the quote? I know there's no such thing as a apothecarian hell, right?
Oh,
But
there is.
oh, there is? Talk to me.
So the beer is stale, and the strippers have STDs.
Okay,
You
okay.
didn't know that? Oh,
No,
okay.
I did. I mean, it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes, Dredd. It comes and it goes. So, is it basically like a subsection? Is it like the downs the what
It's
do you call it?
like
The downtown version?
the bizarro version, of how.
Okay. It's a parallel dimension of the paradise. It's not like downtown of the paradise where it's like, hey, this is all shit. This is where all the bad stuff goes. Okay.
It's
Okay.
kind of
Okay. Okay.
parallel. Well, you just don't have all the benefits of Pastafarian heaven. You don't have the cold beer and all the stuff that they chill out with.
Yeah, I'm going to ask some silly questions too. Like, is there any hope for getting the strippers to be resolved with their issues? Because I'd feel bad if they were stuck there for eternity with STDs.
That's been a very serious ethical question that's been raised, and I'm not sure that there's an answer yet, but they're not like sentient beings.
Got
You
it.
know what I mean?
Got it.
They're
Got it.
like
Stripper robots. They're just like stripper cyborgs or
stripper,
robots.
that's right.
Androids. Okay.
Absolutely non-sentient and non-conscious.
We're just like petri dishes of pathogens where their gonads should be.
Yeah, we sound like Christians, fulfilling details about heaven they know absolutely nothing about, and not in the
Well, we're talking
Bible
about hell. We're
anywhere.
talking about hell. We have an authority to talk about what hell is. We're all going to be going there soon. So I'm just talking about like what's going on here.
There's even less information about hell in the Bible.
You want to talk about that real quick before we get to the next one? Go
I
ahead,
think
Larry.
I just wanted to say there's hardly any information about hell at all.
No.
Jesus keeps saying, I will prepare a place for you in my Father's mansion. So it's a house, but he says nothing about hell, I always refer back to the Bart Ehrman, the New Testament scholar, and he's just great because he spent his entire professional career studying the New Testament, and there really is no discussion about, hell or what it means. And the most that we know about hell is what Dante wrote, right?
Yeah. That's where we get most of our
And of course,
imagery.
that was a complete fiction.
Right.
So, like the nine levels of hell and blah, 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 and the demons and
Actually,
all the rest of it. Crazy.
that's a pretty good lead-in because the next missive of Inconvenient News that came out in our Bible that has that page that just magically updates, it's Hell's GPS system. Satan's GPS system is down. You're now gonna get you get lost and discover new circles of hell all on your own. So no, you don't have to worry about the seven layers and hitting them in a very specific order. You can just go wherever you want now.
Then it
We'll
goes
figure it out.
recalculating,
They're
recalculating.
like, don't you guys want to just hang out at Gluttony? What's, why are we going through envy every
I'd
single
be
time?
into
It makes no
lust.
sense.
I think
Yeah.
lust would be kind of cool.
Lust could be for some for certain people. I would definitely love, like, there's some really fun, what do you call it? Are they called the seven sins? What are the names of the layers? Do they have like a realm title? Give
Oh,
me some pride.
because there was like purgatory and blah blah. I can't remember what they were,
So you can give me
but I think there
pride,
were
you can give me gluttony.
nine levels of hell or something.
Okay, nine levels of hell, pride, gut, gluttony. Those are like some of the two funnest ones. I can imagine that for sure. Rap battles and pride must be off the chain. They must be super cool. Like the rock shows and pride are must be awesome. The food and gluttony is going to be amazing. Larry, what's your favorite circle that you're looking forward to now that Hell's GPS system is down?
What, my favorite circle of hell? I don't
Yeah. What's your
know.
favorite circle?
Well, the
What?
only thing I would think of, if the heater went out, the lakes of lava would solidify. So you wouldn't want to be caught in a lake of lava, at that point. You'd want to get out and maybe have a picnic on the shore, that type of
Okay.
thing.
Yeah, so I have the seven the most of the circles of hell right now. You have limbo, you've got lust, Dredd's favorite, you got gluttony,
Yeah.
my favorite. That's the third circle. Now we can go there directly. We got greed as the fourth circle,
That's where Trump will go, I guess.
You've got wrath, which is the
Bashful.
fifth circle, where the wrathful and sullen are punished. You have heresy, where heretics are
Heretics.
punished. And now that's interesting. So would that be like Socrates? Would that be people who like just know logical
Also, do
arguments?
they
Like what
get
goes on
worse
there?
as you go along, or do they get
I don't
better? Or
think
they're
so.
just different. They're just
They're just
different. Like
different.
different
Yeah.
rooms. Okay.
And at my point, I'm like, if you always have to go through them in that order though, but with the GPS system down, you can just hang out at the most funnest one, just go there directly. Like this is great. Like we can now just go wherever we want to go. Like you have violence as the seventh one. The seventh circle of hell is dedicated or is divided in three wings, and they're all about violence. Punishments include immersion in boiling blood, being transformed into trees and bushes, and being caught, chased, and bitten by wild animals. And then finally, the extra two, eighth and ninth, are fraud and treachery. It's pretty
What's your
cool.
source on this?
I'm sourcing it from let's see, let's get it from the concept of hell's originates from
Oh,
Dante
Dante.
Alighieri's epic poem Inferno, which is
So
part of
everybody out there, if
Dante.
Dante never wrote a book or never lived, what would our concept of hell be?
Yeah, believe it or not, now that's a great question, Larry. The concept of hell as we are born by it is actually by boiling sulfur pits. Or tar pits that have like sulfur gases floating in.
Jesus just said it was going to be eternal fire, and that's about all he said. So it could just be like an eternal forest on fire. We don't know,
Sure.
according to what he says.
In the same book, there was a description of hell that was pretty inclined with just like a tar pit. And I think what happened was some guy saw a tar pit, was like, "Ooh, this place stinks and it's hot and I don't like it." You know what? Hell's like that. And the description of it is almost like real world places that almost exist.
It's
Which
always
isn't
people saying
unsurprising.
what they don't know and claiming it to be true and
Right. It's
hoping
like, I
everybody else
saw
will buy
hell.
into it.
Right. And if you ever smelled a sulfur dioxide
Ooh.
gas bubble,
Yeah,
you would
awful.
believe, yeah, this is pretty much hell. I'd
Like
believe
rotten
that.
eggs.
Oh, yeah. Like dead skunk. It's not good. Anyway, though, I mean, I could see myself bouncing around violence just for like some quick boxing matches, UFC matches, get some entertainment in, go back to gluttony, have a cool time. Like If you plan a vacation in hell accordingly, it couldn't be that bad, actually. It might be pretty fun. That's all I'm saying. Gary, nice to have you back. We're talking about okay, so the torture chamber massage chairs. Okay, so there was a torture chamber in heaven. This is another missive. So we're sorry to let you know that our torture chambers are down. Please enjoy the massage chairs. Stretch out on a rack for a temporary release. So now, instead of being tortured in hell on racks, you can just get a nice massage. I think that's okay too. What do you guys think about that? Larry's still like, I'm still a soul. There's nothing I can do about this.
Yeah, I mean, if what's a massage if their hands just go right through
If
you?
they're
What's to
it's still.
massage? Yeah.
So you need like what if it was done by another soul though? What are your soul rules, Larry? Like if it was a soul who was doing the massage to another soul, would that not allow contact?
Well, who knows? I mean, we've never just had a soul to test and see if what their physical properties are. And my feeling on that is because they don't exist. There are no such things as souls.
This is the first
But
time you've ever said that.
no,
You
no,
you've never ever brought this
no.
up. This is all
But I
new news.
mean, we don't know anything about it. People profess that they know all about souls and what they are, but even professional ghost hunters have never shown us a ghost. All they've
No.
done is told us about the sounds they heard, et cetera, which could be
But
caused by another person.
there is a problem with a ghost show that would find that a ghost exists because they would no longer be the ghost hunters, they'd be the ghost finders, and it'd be a one episode show.
Good
And the
point.
show description would be, we did it, and there wouldn't be a season two or four or 17. They'd
Unless
just
they
be like, no, we
continue
did
to
it.
find them, and
No,
be like a
exactly, right? And it would be like Apollo 15 was to Apollo 11, just nobody watched TV anymore or gave a heck about it. I just not said something.
No, right? It's like, could anyone name the seventh person that landed on or walked on the moon? Right? It's like, we're kind of done. We figured it out. So everyone wants to be the first and greatest. That's why there's so many hunters. But as soon as one person does, that show's over, right? And I think they know it. I think at this point they know it and they're just riding the wave of money. I almost can guarantee you if they found an actual ghost, they'd be like, let's pretend we don't broadcast this and just ride this gravy train for as long as possible. Like, I know there's a
Well,
ghost, you know there's a
I
ghost,
don't know.
your fans know there's a
I
ghost.
take the opposite view on that. I think that if they found one, it would give them such a sense of accomplishment that they would want to find another and see how they differ, and bring it to the
Aww.
forefront of it. They would win probably a
Then
Nobel
it would
Prize for
become
actually
science.
finding one. The
Then it would
rewards, would outclass
be
the,
a science.
then it would be a science. At that point, yes, you're right. Dred, very good point.
They
Larry,
call
good
it
point.
something like phenomenology or something like that, right?
Phenomenology. I love that so much. That's great. That's such a cool name. I wish another branch of science would use that. That's so awesome. But yeah, if they had good intentions, right? I think, and I guess proper funding or what do you call it?
Good data, if they could collect some good data from it to prove it and
So
maybe get it
oftentimes,
repeatable. Say we come back next Saturday night and we find it
correct.
again, or we bring some witnesses in, some scientists to verify it, and it happens again. Then we got something that's verifiable and you can write a paper on and make Nobel Prizes out of it.
So I can
Yeah,
tell
for
you that
sure.
from my perspective, the order of how science comes about is oftentimes a complete accident that you just recorded because you're using the scientific method to document how you were doing everything. And then something unexpected happens, and you're like, let's repeat this experiment again to see if this happens again. Then it happens again, and you're like, okay, let's stop and see if we can let our supervisors know or get funding for this because this
Document it.
experiment costs money, but we know how to get this particular result. And now once I have money and funding, like I'll write a grant, and then I'll have people who are expecting results that I have to be honest to, who can fund the research, the novel research that I came up with, so I can get some notoriety along with it. I can publish. And now there's like a whole body of work that I can present and be a forefront of that I have creditors that I owe to do so in like an objective and detailed manner. Like that tends to be an impetus for like, in a weird way, really cool science. So like if you're just some guy with a TV show and you're just interested in making more of that TV show, I don't think they'd be as genuine as someone who like may have inadvertently come up with like some way of connecting two batteries together and being like, oh my gosh, it's
Yeah.
Ghostbusters land. This happened. Hold
Yeah.
on a
Don't
second.
cross the beams.
Don't
Yeah.
cross the beams. How do
Well,
I keep making these ghosts appear?
we
Oh, no.
forgot another option that could happen. Instead of having
Talk to me.
scientists come in, the military would probably want to come in, shut the
That's
whole
it.
thing down, privatize
That's
it
it.
to them and put it in a lab and see if they couldn't make a weapon out of
Right.
But that, yeah. Okay. So, yes, that does happen too. Larry, that happens too. But you know what? A lot of really cool things have come about from that process because after they figure out, okay, we really can't make a weapon out of Velcro, but it is useful to have Velcro. We're gonna issue it out. So, for
No,
example,
you could
go
make a
ahead.
weapon out of a ghost. You could send him into places where he would not be seen, gather secrets, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, if he doesn't kill anybody.
Assassinate, all kinds of
Or you can
stuff.
bring back like fallen soldiers and be like, hey, you get a second chance. You're back on the
Yeah,
contract again. It's like, oh, this
right.
is awesome. It can work. But like a military is so NASA's technically military funding. It's government funding, right? And every dollar that we spent on helping figure out how to get a rocket to like Mars or the moon or even just an atmosphere making satellites has paid back dividends dramatically. And there's a lot of really cool technology that we have as a result of it. So
Right.
it's not always a bad thing when the military like steps in and funds research. As long as the research gets funded and the scientific method is allowed to be followed. And what I just hope is that, if ghosts were real, they would have serious backing so that we can benefit from phenomenology. Anyway, Larry, I think we're close to the bottom of the first half hour.
Pretty close. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play. But I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday. Oh, hell, I wanna go to hell, so I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay, so I can go to hell someday. Ellen's really nice, but she enjoys other ladies. Jackman doesn't mind, and so he's going to Hades. Woody Allen, obviously, because he's a Jew. Also, Princess Di, Mother Teresa, too. Washington and Jefferson, and don't forget Lincoln. I can tell you now that their souls are a-sinking. Johnny Depp, because he wears too much eyeliner. And Reese Witherspoon, an overweight Rob Reiner. Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play. But I gotta do what's right and do it every
Welcome
day.
back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Dotter Five, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 22nd year now and have 1,100 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Taproom and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather outside on the deck. You can find us online at facebook.com, meetup.com, or knoxvilleatheist.org, our website. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. By the way, don't find one? Start one. That's right.
Start
Yeah.
one.
Where do you want to pick up one bet?
I got some quick. I actually had some listener comments, but I do have some questions about the core that Dredd is enjoying. That is quite a nice little stay that you're in. Would you mind talking about that?
With that, sorry, you
The core?
yeah, like
What's the
yeah, I
core?
mean, it's just really, really pretty where he's at right now. I've never seen him in such a nice
Oh,
little.
yeah. So I'm in a medic shack on a. This is actually a carbon capture project. Here, I'll show you. So right now we've got a bunch of people
Ooh, so pretty.
building this up. Yeah, it is. The sky's very nice, but
Gold.
yeah, it's a carbon capture project. And so I live on site in a medic shack. So, I got a bedroom and kitchen and all that good stuff. So, and I don't have to drive to work or from work. I'm here all the time. And yeah, it's actually quite nice. I like it. I could get used to this.
What do you do for entertainment there?
I've got a TV, and of course I've got my computer and books and
Computer
all
games.
that good stuff. Yeah, video games. I've been, I've been learning Spanish. I've been taking a physics course. I'm working on getting into calculus. So I'm doing my pre-calculus. Yeah, well,
Cool.
because I decided to go back to university to finish my degree, right? So, yeah, working on all that
And
stuff, and I've
what's
got
your
lots of
major?
time to do it.
What's your
Hey,
major? Your major?
it's just general studies because I have a diploma in that. So it's very, very diverse, and I essentially just pick whatever I want to do.
You learn how to
Oh,
do a
that's
lot of
awesome.
research.
That's so cool. That's cool. We're all at 10s today. This is great. We have a listener comment. This one's coming from Patty. She is a friend of mine. She's a Christian. She actually works out with me, and she's been listening to the show. We appreciate it. She is a Christian, but she's very open-minded and has some really, we've had some thoughtful conversations. The question that she's asking is, this is on our show Snowflakes. We were talking about how basically people will look at a snowflake and say it came from God if they don't know mechanics of like how a snowflake is created. And like there's no better demonstration that we understand the mechanics of how a snowflake is created by the fact that we can make snowflakes ourselves and like blow them on hills for fake snow. Like we understand the process well enough. And so it's not like a supernatural design, it's just a manipulation of some really basic physical parameters, right? And what she had mentioned, it's a bit of a long message, but here's the short of it. I've often wondered, what do atheists believe is the purpose behind the ornateness of a snowflake? Is it purely a result of natural process, or is there a deeper significance atheists find in their beauty? She starts it off by basically saying, like, it's okay. I understand what you mean by the show that we know how it was made, but do you think there's any purpose behind the ornateness? Because we could have had snowflakes look like a standard thing over and over again. So, Larry, I see you shaking your head, but I'd love to hear from Dred.
Well,
Dred, Dred,
it's just
Dred.
people. They
Oh no,
want to
Larry, get
say,
it in.
they
Larry, also
want
be
to say.
nice. This is my friend.
They just. I'm
We need
talking
more
about
comments.
humanity. Humans want to see purpose in things. They look for purpose in things, where it may or may not be there. And I don't believe that it's there. But that's just me.
Right. Likewise. Likewise.
It's
Okay. I
just
mean, you
a.
think about things like flight. The flight has happened, independent, at least four times in the history of life. Eyeballs, same thing. People often, Christians often go back to this, well, look at the eyeball or look at the trees. I mean, it's the complexity is impossible. It's like, well, that's an argument from ignorance. It's nothing more than that. Just because you don't know how it happened doesn't make it necessarily create a creation from a divine being.
Go ahead, Larry.
All right. Well, just because a snowflake doesn't have a purpose doesn't mean that we don't have purpose, but we supply our own purpose. We generate, we may have a certain purpose when you're in your teens, or another one when you're in your 20s or 30s, another one when you're 50. Purpose, people can have many purposes and change them as they get older. Just
Yeah,
do what
and
you feel your purpose is.
remember Steve Martin? He had a special purpose. Remember, in the
Oh,
movie, the idiot. Mama told me about my special purpose.
Let me get to the heart of her question, because she's asking, as a Christian, I see the uniqueness of snowflakes as a reflection of God's creativity and design. However, I'm curious to hear from atheists. How do you personally appreciate the delicate intricacy of snowflakes? And what significance, if any, do you find in their ornate designs from a secular perspective? Like, is there anything from the secular world point of view that makes you look at a snowflake and be in any sense of awe
Well,
or
certainly.
appreciation?
I mean,
Yeah, for sure.
there's true. If it's true that none are ever alike, then there are trillions of different designs. That is awesome. That is amazing. I mean, I sit in awe that there are so many different variations of the six-sided hexagonal. It's just incredible. I can be in awe of a beautiful sunset, or what I'm in awe of is the sea. I was in the Navy for 4 years. I spent 2 years on a destroyer. Whenever I go to the seashore, I just sit in awe of the vastness and the complexity of the life inside the sea and how it all started there.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Dredd, you look like a person who spent some time on seas. Would you say the
Yeah,
same?
or in the forests or anywhere really. I mean, actually up here when every morning I am witness to these beautiful sunrises and sunsets. It's like I can never get tired of this, and it always fills me with awe and wonder and all the rest of it. Even though I can look at it from a different point of view, from a scientific point of view, I think understanding things is much better than just, saying it's the result of something I will never understand. I wouldn't
Yeah,
want to be that person.
even the pursuit of understanding is more valuable than the
That
assumption that you know the
exactly.
answer, right? I throw this out too. I remember seeing a YouTube video of a guy who got these glasses that help correct vision for people who have color blindness. And it wasn't the typical video where someone puts it on and starts crying. In fact, he was very skeptical. He used a very scientific approach of like, I actually would like to prove that these things don't work. And a lot of the videos that are out are like dramatized and like staged. That's why the camera's all set
Some
up.
of them
I
were.
bought my own pair. I have this kind of color blindness. It's been a pack to me for XYZ. So I see like reds and greens. It's sort of like a brown. And I'm going to put them on for the first time ever. And I'm going to walk outside and I'm going to give you my honest, true impressions of like what I think about this. I'm not crying. I'm just going to put them on and put them on. And go, oh my goodness. Oh no. Oh, there's different greens. That's a green and that's a green. No, they're all different. I can't believe the trees and the bushes aren't the same color. And grass. Oh my gosh, grass is amazing. Like he went from like a complete 180 and he tried so hard not to. He's like, oh, what's that color? Is this orange?
Or purple.
Right. Things that I take for granted as someone who can see color on a regular basis. Like I look at like sunsets. In the same way, where I'll just stand outside and admire the fact that I can appreciate the variety of colors, the deep reds, deep purples, as it bleed into yellows and oranges. And there's like no other vivid kind of like neon bright kind of like cloud sky. It's not even like a colored cloud. It's just the sky is purple and red, and it happens every day. And it's just such a beautiful thing. I also got a drone, and I can fly up to about 400 feet legally. The sunsets from 400 feet above land is completely different than when you're seeing it when it's obscured by like a skyline. So when you have completely uninterrupted curvature of the earth and you can see the entire broad horizon and all the variety of different colors as the sun is like bleeding into like the, it's like you're seeing it from a plane. It's so impressive that you have access to that. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things from a secular perspective that you can still appreciate. That a Christian would appreciate the same thing too. If we saw even like a snowflake, we can both appreciate the beauty and the intricacy of it. It's just that from what we are attributing it to is one is being used to uphold a dogma that they were taught when they were young, and the other one's being used to further appreciate the mechanics of how all things came to be in a tested and objective format that we can still learn from. In order to improve our lives and quality of lives moving forward. So, yeah, thank you very much, Patty. We appreciate the comment. I wanted to go into winds real quick. We spent a lot of time badgering Christianity, but I also wanted to talk about some positivity too. I want to say I was telling you guys at the top of the show that I have like a board where I write down my mood from like 1 out of 10 or 0 out of 10 when I wake up. And for the last 3 weeks since I started the board, I've just been at a 10 out of 10. Just been every single time I'm thinking like maybe at a 9 or an 8 or 9.5, I just think to myself like, no, because I can fix this problem. Or I'm sore now because I worked out hard and that's good that I worked out, you know? Or, you know, like maybe I didn't meet my goals, but I'm more inspired and I can find time to resolve them. And I can put that back to a 10. So, like, everything that's broken, similar to how things can break in hell, I find manageable and like fixable on my own effort. And so I feel really good about that. That's a win for me. I want to know, Dredd, have you had times where things have been going wrong and you were able to fix it? Like, do you have a win this week? And would you mind sharing it?
Yeah, I had a huge win this week.
Let's go.
I'm going into the paramedic program,
Nice.
primary
Nightwing.
care paramedic, and so there's a college or medical training facility that, and one of the campuses is here, so in Fort St. John. And it starts on March the 8th. So
Nice.
I've been rushing around trying to meet all the prerequisites. There's some additional training that I didn't realize I was required to have. And so there was an outfit here and another outfit here in Dawson Creek that offered it. And so I signed up and paid for it. But then realized or was informed that the college I'm go want to go to doesn't recognize it as a legitimate provider. So I had to rush around, and I actually had to buy plane tickets to Vancouver
Wow.
for a 2-day course. So, hundreds of dollars at my own expense
Wow.
just to meet this one final criteria. But there
To
was, it
save
was a
lives.
problem. There was a problem that needed fixing, and I fixed it. So I felt good
Oh,
about
good. Good for
that
you.
because I just got that done yesterday. I fly out in about a week and a half, but that's the last hurdle I have to get through, and I was glad that I did it.
Dred, you know what you
Well done.
deserve? You deserve some all-dressed chips. And that is a little Canadian thing that only exists in Canada. It's the best flavor of chips possible. And a lot of people don't realize that because Americans don't have access to it. Whenever I have a friend that goes to Canada, I'm like, bring back all-dressed ruffles. They're the best thing ever. But that's fantastic. I'm glad you went through all that trouble and worked hard to resolve that issue. Larry, what do you got as a win? Uh-oh, what do you got as a win? You're on mute.
I don't understand the question. What do I?
Oh, what do you mean? Larry, we're talking about wins. Tell me something that you overcome, a challenge you
Oh,
overcome.
over the something I've
Yeah.
overcome.
Yeah. Tell me something where
Well,
you were faced with the dilemma, you resolved it, and you won. God said, I'm giving you this. And you said, no, thank you, God. And you gave him a little uppercut and a little liver kick.
I'm
And he's like, oh, I'm
still,
sorry, I'm sorry. And he left you alone. And you're like,
yeah.
that's right. Don't mess with Larry Rhodes again.
Well, I don't know if I could call it a, it's definitely a win, but I don't know if I can grab credit for it because, my knees,
Sure.
when they start going up, they start giving you pain, and the pain is chronic. It happens all the time, every day, and it keeps you from sleeping. But, of course, I got a hold of my doctors, and we worked out a solution, and we went through the operation, and it's all better now. However,
Nice. What
my
did you
yeah, go ahead.
do? What helped? You basically
Well,
just yada yada'd knee pain away, and I'm wondering like what happened
no, it
to
was
that?
an operation, but even after the operation, I still had some pain, but it was coming from my muscles and stuff then because they take a while to heal after an operation like that. But after
Yeah.
a couple months, it was win-win. My knee is now strong again. I feel better. Of course, now my other knee is coming out, is going out, and I'm back on crutches again because of my other
Ah.
knee. But I have an appointment Monday. I'm going to start handling that and probably get another operation. So another couple, 3 months,
Larry,
I'll
let me
have
tell
two
you this
strong
other win.
knees.
You only have two knees. Isn't that great? Bilateral symmetry. Aren't you glad we didn't evolve to be four-legged animals? And you're like, oh, well, now it's time for my third knee.
Yeah,
And then
it
the
would
fourth one after
probably
this.
end up being 2 years of ordeals.
We did not become centaurs. Evolution win. Congratulations. You only got two
Well,
knees. And you
yeah, true. But college is another win. I mean, it 4 years of struggle to get through college. And for your doctorate, you had how many years?
Me? I had 5 years for my doctorate, though I got to spend a year overseas working, and that was
That's
cool.
not
So that was.
counting your undergraduate work.
No, it's not kind of my undergraduate work. It was like 12 years of just like straight up like college level courses in high school to undergrad to graduate, then working for a year and then writing my thesis for like the very last last year of my doctorate program. It was
Yeah.
an endeavor. It was an
Well,
endeavor.
that's an accomplishment, quite an
I
accomplishment.
appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. So listen, I've always said if I ever wake up and I'm 12 years old again and I don't have the knowledge that I have, I'd be like, okay, well, one, I'm not the same person anymore. So like I'll just go through it all over again. It's totally fine with
Sure.
me because I learned a lot going through that process. And I feel like it wasn't just a piece of
Absolutely.
paper that I got. I just learned how to work with other people much more effectively as a result of learning what my limitations were and improving myself through education.
Right.
However, if I know what I know now and I'm 12, I'm never going to school again. I'm telling my mom, I was like, listen, mom, here's a bunch of math facts. I'm dropping out of school. I'm never going to class. I'm never doing
I
homework
could
again.
you could test your way out too.
I'm just testing the waves. Like, give me the senior test, give me the college
Yes.
test. I'm done. I don't want to do school anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I don't want to do school. I hate school.
After 12 years of college level work, I can
Oh, I hated
imagine.
it when I was in preschool. I remember having to
Yeah.
do
Oh
vocab
no.
exams and I'm just like writing the
Damn
words
these
down.
crayons.
It was terrible. I'll tell you another quick win for me is that I'm in the process of getting a new car. I just put a deposit down. The thing that I was very much dreading was going to a car dealership and having to work out, financing, a trade-in, negotiations, a four squared. We got a whole bunch of different add-ons that dealerships put onto cars. So inflate the cost of a car, new insurance, new warranties. I had to learn like so many new terms. I was watching YouTube videos and every single one that told you this is what to say to a dealership and top 40 things never to mention when you're buying a new car at a dealership. I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with all this information of do's and don'ts. I looked online to see, isn't there a way that I could like just buy a car like how I would get like a watch on Amazon where they just list out here are the prices and here are the cars and we compete based on other stores that are also available online too. And you just save up money and just buy the thing and you call it and you're done. And so I found a dealer or I found a car manufacturer that offers, and I believe others do this too, so it's not the only one, but a system called Click to Buy. Which was simply just, and this is not an endorsement, so I'm going to keep that vague. But the idea is you simply click on the model and the trim that you want. They'll throw out every dealership that's available with online prices that they will honor. And all you have to do is say, I want to buy that thing. You can choose how you want to buy it. And you click send and you will get a call back that's like, we're ready if you're ready. And I'm like, I'm ready. Do you have any other questions? Like, yeah, could you do a video around the car because you're like two states away from me? And they give you a nice little video of like what the car looks like, the tags and all that stuff. I'm like, fantastic. Here's a bunch of questions that I have. They have a responder who gives back the answers within like the next 10 minutes. And I'm like, looks good. What's the delivery? How are you delivering it? They give you the answers. All the costs were thrown into the cost that was online for me to get the car. And I'm like, so easy. I wish everybody knew this because now, it used to be back in the day when you want to buy a car, it was like you'd have to pack up and deal with whatever your local dealership was willing to throw at you. And now it's no, you could just I pick whatever. I went to a dealership that says this car is going to cost this much money, and we have these add-ons that you can't take away. I'm like, that's fine. I'll just go to this car. I'll just go to this place. And then these guys were like, we'll give you this much money. I'm like, no, cheaper. And I said, what about this one? I was like, we'll give you the lowest possible price with no extra add-ons. And I'm like, I want the add-ons though. It's like, okay, fine. We'll still keep you the lowest price possible. I'm like, this is fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. That's what sounds
Good win.
painless.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you
It
have to
was
tell us
painless.
after you pick it up if everything went
Absolutely.
according to plan.
I'll show you the video. I'll put it in the messenger group,
Yeah.
and you can see what I'm talking about. But
Yeah.
I'm just happy that we streamline car purchases now of all things that we streamlined. I think that's really nice. More people need to
Yeah.
know about this. So when it
Yeah.
comes in, I'll show you pics, but I'm excited. That's a
Yeah.
win for me.
Cool. Gary
Brad.
had you had your hand up a second ago.
Yeah, go for it. Dread.
Good.
Yeah, you had your hand up. What's up?
I just mentioned that my laptop has restarted by itself twice now, so I'm in computer hell.
Nice. That means you get
Very,
to go
very,
outside and
very,
touch.
very inconvenient.
You can touch the snowflakes.
I have a go
what?
ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I think I told you I was in a car accident. And ICBC was trying to determine blame. So anyway, I got the news that the other guy's at fault, and either they're going to fix my car or pay me out for it. So that's why I was also thinking about Potentially buying a new car as well.
Ooh, okay. I'll send you some cool
So
tips.
thank you for that tip there, because that would definitely be the way I'd go about it.
Oh, absolutely. If I ever get another car, I'm just doing this
Yeah.
literally again. It's the
Cool.
easiest way to do it.
One other thing that eluded me earlier, but now I think about that, was that I overcame, that I'm very proud of, and that's leaving religion behind
Ooh,
and
bringing it
becoming an
back.
atheist. That was, years of coming up to the point of being able to change over and then changing over to non-belief.
I
And
gotcha.
so many of us have gone through that. Some atheists were born into an atheist family, didn't have to do that, but I would say 90% of atheists out there are post-religion. So they've been through that. They know the religions that they left behind, and we're not good to proselytize to.
I know it's a harder track, but I almost respect and like people who've gone through the process of being born without religion, being indoctrinated into religion, and then coming out again. One, because it mirrors the path that I was on, but two, because I know that path is like brick laden and level and quite strong because it's gone through the test, right? Like a person who's gone through that process knows why they're an atheist, if they can articulate it and they have good reasoning. I value that more than someone who's never been exposed to religion whatsoever and just like, no, I've always been an atheist. What are you talking about? It's like, what a that's like someone who was born in Hawaii and saw like sunsets and tropical rainbows every day of their life. And you're like, you never really experienced weather. You don't know how
You don't know what a winter in Milwaukee would be like.
You haven't tested the storm, and
Right.
that's why you get the crystals around your neck. You're just like you're still
Yes.
vulnerable. You don't even realize how vulnerable yet. Like, but we've been tested through the fire, and that's, in my opinion, that's really
And
good.
I absolutely agree. I was having this conversation with my wife yesterday, because there was this thing on Facebook where they had made a post that somebody was giving away a free 2024 Tacoma, and all you had to do was click a link and put in, at Hitch or something like that. And I could not believe how many people were doing it. And it was clearly, clearly a scam. They even spelled the words wrong in the post, like as though that wasn't a good enough giveaway. Just the fact that, some random person's giving away a brand new Tacoma, it astonished me. And again, for those who are indoctrinated into a religion, it is representative of a failure to think critically, and to ha and it, the lack of a methodology to reliably evaluate evidence, right? That's what it comes down to.
A failure to reason hurts you in more than just religious circles. Hurts you financial,
All the way.
mentally, and physically. Because Dread, one quick thing before we go. I had a fun video that I'm going to show at work tomorrow, which was 1984 when seatbelts were made compulsory in America, and there's news guys on the road just like videotaping people talking about, well, I never have to wear a seatbelt, but I don't get why it's against the law. Like, there's no way this keeps me from getting injured. Like, I think there's going to be just as many traffic accidents, just as many deaths. I don't understand it. And there's like, they're smoking in front of their babies, and they just like, the idea that people could be so confident, get so wrong, is startling. And so you have to, like, at a certain point, be willing to let go of your confidence and listen to like a form of reason that is demonstrable, testable, and provided to you by someone who's not necessarily just an authority, but someone who can explain to you, hey, listen, if you're in an accident and this is around your chest, you're not going to fly through your windshield, right? That's what makes you live, right? Can we agree that's a thing? Okay, you're not going to get in a car accident, but you never planned to get in a car accident. That's why you're wearing one. Isn't that amazing? It's just.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because there was a conversation on our church page with respect to the Freedom Truckers in Canada, and
Okay.
people questioning what they were even about. And of course, it was about mandated vaccinations for truckers crossing the border.
Oh, wow.
That was sort of the the reason touted anyway. And so I said the same thing. I said, so does that mean you don't wear seat belts because those were mandated?
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. It's in the public interest.
Yes.
Just do it.
Right. As a and paramedic, so many, the last,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so many people take pleasure in spreading misinformation these days.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing it's misinformation, just go ahead and just put it out there. And try to get people to believe it for fun. It could be the ruin of our society, especially with this UI. I mean, AI that's coming.
Right.
They can replicate all kinds of conditions and show it is true, and they're going to do it. And it's just going to be, it may very well be the downfall of the foundation of our society. What can you believe? What can't you believe? It just started off with vaccinations, in my opinion, and of course Trump was in the White House, which added to it because he didn't push them as much as he should have.
I do think there's a really good analogy between seatbelts and vaccines, and I never saw it until you just brought that up, Trent. I appreciate that. Also,
I mean,
as a paramedic, you're in the interest of saving people's lives. You don't want to go to a scene and someone's dead when they could have been saved, right? Your job, it's a group project. And so the most a potential victim can do is make your job easier, make sure that they don't die, because it's in the interest of both of you guys. So vaccines, seat belts, and the good diet, good health, finding friends to talk to, finding good cultures. And if you're stuck in a religion and you don't think anyone can help you, we have outlets for that. We have Freedom From Religion. Do you want to bring up some more, Larry? Or you're a local atheist group. If you don't find one, start one. What else can people go to if they feel like?
No,
eat some pasta.
Yeah. Eat some pasta.
Yeah. No, I'd like to hit on vaccinations. I mean, I was born in 1950, and polio was a thing then. I mean, lots of children got polio, couldn't use their legs. Some of them ended up in iron lungs. It's just, I mean, and we wiped it out through vaccines. Vaccines work. And now half of the country, I wouldn't vaccinate. You know, they're trying to put a chip in me, which is just stupid.
That's the thing. Like, I saw Bill Gates at the last TED Talks, not the last one, the one before. And he says, because there were protesters outside the whole time, you know, about vaccines and chips. And he says, what am I going to do with all that information? Why do I want to know where everyone is? He says, they all carry these phones around. So, you know,
you're like, already being tracked.
Why do you need a chip in your body when you're voluntarily
carrying a chip around?
Yeah, if you put an Apple logo on it, you'll carry one with you regardless. So
voluntarily. Yeah.
Well, we're up for final words. We're getting right there at the end. Want to start closing out.
It's just stupid. I love it. Oh, by the way, if anything breaks down in hell, don't worry about it. Relax. It's only going to make things better. And I like that. I like that. That's good. And it can't last forever. No one's going down to fix it. So,
Dread Pirate, you have links you'd like to put out? Dread Pirate, do you have links you'd like to put out?
Oh, sorry. Mind Pirate, that's my YouTube channel, MindPyrate. I've been doing just weekly vignettes on anything and everything Pastafarian and, kind of surrounding that. Come check it out. It's kind of fun and,
Very
check
good.
It out.
Wombat, nice. Links?
I want to just send a shout out to Patty, who's probably watching this show too. If we got a little jovial, that's typical, but also thank you for your comment. We appreciate it. And we love snowflakes too.
Yeah, very good. My content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My YouTube channel handle is at Doubter5, and you can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on WOZO Radio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.